On to the review section, and we're talking about our trip to Rome, which we did back in November. So, Rome, it's a little bit like a Jim Belushi house party. There's tons to do, lots of fun, and it can make for a pretty crazy weekend. We've already shared our thoughts about the Colosseum, which you can find in episode 4 of the podcast, but with so many amazing historic and beautiful things to see, already stood out for us. Well, obviously, there's the Vatican, which is so pimped out with gold and extravagance that if you saw it on Cribs, you'd probably assume it was Kanye West's house. There's the Pantheon, which is a church that takes holy to a whole other level by having a massive hole in the roof. There's the Roman Forum, which is the world's biggest archaeological site, which is both a window into the ancient wonder that was Rome and a constant reminder of how much of a dick Mussolini was when he decided to build a dual carriageway right through the centre of it. But for me, the unexpected highlight of this amazing city was something else. Something unexpected and hidden and quite jaw-dropping, and that was the Trevi Fountain. Now, you're probably familiar with the Trevi Fountain from the classic movie La Dolce Vita by Italian master Federico Fellini. Or if you're not a classy bastard, you might know it from the Lizzie McGuire movie. Now, full disclosure, we visited the fountain in November 2015, just after it had completed a 1.6 million refurb, so the fountain was looking pretty awesome. Now, the fountain is located at the epicentre of three streets in Rome, which gives it its name, because the Italian for street is V, so the Trevi Fountain is the Free Street Fountain. What's a little surprising is that these streets are quite small, and kind of like the Manneken Pis in Belgium, it's pretty easy to miss if you don't know where you're going. However, whilst you might find it tricky to find the fountain, no one else does. As an open landmark, you can go there any time during the day or night, and you can pretty much be guaranteed to be in good company, as about 3.5 million tourists visit the fountain every year, and that's not counting the Italians and the Romans who go there to meet, talk, and break out unnecessary over-the-top hand gestures. Now, the fountain is massive. It's about 85 foot tall, it's about 65 foot wide, and it pumps about 2.8 million cubic feet of water every day. It's made out of travertine stone, which is it's like a white stone from Tivoli, which is the same stone that was built to build the Colosseum. Now, as you stand there to admire it in all its gleaming white beauty, you might wonder, how did the ancient Romans build something like this? Well, the answer is simple, they didn't. After spending a weekend in Rome, you might think that everything there looks old from the Roman era, but the Trevi Fountain is actually a lot newer. The Trevi Fountain was there in ancient Roman times because it was the end of the Aqua Virgo viaduct. However, the travertine Titan, which was built much more recently, is about 1730 on top of the old one. So the Pope was the man who decided a new fountain was needed, so he held a competition to see who could design the best fountain. Now, the winner was allegedly Alessandro Galilei, but Galilei was from Florence and the locals kicked up a fuss, so instead Nicola Salvi, a local Roman, won the competition and his design was used for the fountain. It's also kind of understandable that the Pope wasn't too fond of the whole Galilei family after the whole, you know, Earth isn't flat thing, but we don't know that for sure. Another theory was that Salvi may have won because his design was the cheapest. And that seems to make sense, as the Pope actually paid for the fountain by using the state lottery money. That's right, in 1730s Rome, the Pope was in charge of deciding if the lottery was allowed, and then if he decided it was allowed, he would decide what the money would go. Now, money's always been a bit of a theme with the fountain, as it's a custom to stand with your back to the fountain and throw a coin into it over your shoulder. Some make a wish, but the original legend was that if you threw one coin into the fountain, you would return to Rome. Two coins, you would find a girl. And three coins would mean you would find love and a wife. Now, whilst that's very sweet, it does give you a glimpse of just how cocky Roman soldiers were and how difficult Roman women could be, as they believed that it was much easier to conquer Europe and come home than it was to get a girlfriend or get married. In a nice touch, it's actually illegal to go into the fountain and retrieve the coins, as on a daily basis they're collected and given to a local Roman charity that feeds the poor, and on average the fountain gathers about 3,000 euros every single day. But what about the fountain? Well, it's truly great and immense. Just this awesome sight to behold. It's the centerpiece is Neptune, who's the Roman god of the sea, and he's riding this kind of seashell chariot, and he's pulled by two horses. One's kind of wild and one's quite calm to kind of, you know, signify the two different kind of sides of the sea. It's huge, it's imposing, it's grandiose, it's a little over the top, but it's really big, and it's imbued with passion and flair, and it's got this great sense of style. Many of Rome's kind of landmarks are kind of the Roman ones, and they're kind of these pictures of the past and the symbols of the religious history and the Roman history, but that, especially the Roman stuff, the ancient Roman stuff, it's kind of faded, and it's not really relevant anymore in the kind of modern era. You know, apart from there's some awesome gelato shops on the corner, we went back to the fountain, I think, about three times, not just for the gelato, but I think maybe the thing that really strikes me about the fountain is that it's a lot more connected to the modern Rome and the modern Italy, rather than the Colosseums and the Roman forums. It's kind of fiery and passionate, and it's very, very stylish and beautiful, and very social, people there eating and drinking and admiring and meeting, and it's just a lot more modern Italy rather than ancient Rome, and I think that's something that really stands out to me, and I think maybe one of the reasons why we kept on going back. But I don't know, what I have to say is we loved Rome, we loved the Colosseum, we loved the Forum, we especially loved the Trevi Fountain. The history, the food, the sights, the atmosphere. And for me, I kind of feel that the city's real heart isn't so much the Colosseum. For me, it's the Trevi Fountain. That's why I enjoyed it so much. All right, that's all we have for our reviews of Rome. On the same trip, we did visit Barcelona afterwards. We did 2 days in Rome, 2 days in Barcelona. So we'll bring you a couple of thoughts from the Sagrada Familia next week.